And so to the top end, and another bird. The bird is Jenny Ornis, and Dennis Buckley helps us find it.
Margaret Catherine introduces the scientific team to the spirits of her country, ensuring that the visitors are safe.
Thank you. I asked them to look after you.
The Arnhem Plateau is flat-bedded sandstone, laid down 1,700 million years ago at the edge of a forgotten ocean. Its western edge is the Kakadu Escarpment, and it stretches for 30,000 square kilometres to the east and south. It's fractured beyond belief, gorges and outcrops scattered in eucalypt woodland, every paintable surface a canvas. Like some giant jigsaw, every picture, every layer, every gallery points to someone, sometime, who painted here for some reason. Their story is lost to the ages, but some of the clues they left behind are compelling.
One of the features of this picture is its enormous size. It's around about 1.5 metres long. And the red ochre, the pigment, is actually now part of the rock. And one of the features of this is that it's almost exactly like how paleontologists reconstruct the Jenny Ornis megafauna.
Professor Bryce Barker.
When you look at reconstructions from the skeletal material of Jenny Ornis, this is about as accurate as a depiction of that bird that you could possibly get. If we excavate the sediments around this painting, now we can't unfortunately excavate right underneath it because of this huge roof fall, which is really unfortunate, because where we really want to excavate is right underneath this big painting so that we can perhaps capture some of the ochre that went into making it and we could actually date that level. But we can't do that. So what we're doing is we're doing four little excavations around this rock outcrop. There's other little art panels. And so one of the things we're trying to establish, I mean, if we can get an old date for the establishment of some of the painting around here, especially if it is, say, 40,000, well, that basically supports the idea that this is, in actual fact, a picture of a Jenny Ornis.
Professor Bryce Barker, those dates, 40 or 45,000 years, are the most recent fossil records of the extinct giant bird, dates from eggshells found around Lake Eyre and Lake Frome.
We have in Australia the knowledge of the extinction of Jenny Ornis, but it's obtained by paleontologists.
Dr. Jean-Michel Geneste, scientific director of the Chauvet and Lascaux Caves in France.
It could be possible at the scale of the continent that some Jenny Ornis live here, not at recent time, but with some thousand years after the statistical extinction of the animals, because the identification of the extinction is not the date of the death of the last animal of the species. So we suspect that people that produce the images of Jenny Ornis have seen Jenny Ornis. I am not convinced that it could be possible to keep in mind with anatomical details the naturalistic image of an animal that has disappeared. No, it could be possible in Western Europe, in Siberia, because you can find frozen mammoths, but here we have not the animal. So I think it could be at the same period, but maybe not exactly at 45,000, maybe 40, you think? It's a very important topic. It's a reason why, with Bruno David, we have developed a program to study all these sites with extinct species. We have thylacine or Tasmanian devils or other kind of carnivores.
Our aims coming here were initially just to date the Jenny Ornis site and getting contextual information of occupation near that site. But when we came here, we noticed that this is a rare opportunity to get some answers as to the age of different kinds of art styles.
Dr. Bruno David from Monash University. The Jenny Ornis is painted on a small rock outlier, 200 metres from the main outcrop. There's a small shelter there, but the people who painted it probably lived in their large shelter where Dr. Geneste is working. Bruno David is a few metres away, out in the open, around the corner. The paintings there seem inconsequential, their significance easily overlooked. But Bruno David's forensic eye sees opportunity.
In this site, we've got a panel of stick figures of human shapes, and the panel itself was painted on a rock surface that was created sometimes after the original surface had fallen off. So what we're trying to do is work out the age of the original rock surface so that we can work out how old the painted surface is, in which case that would give us the maximum age of the art itself.
Bruno David. Now back to the main habitation site, a deep cool shelter with permanent shade. It's around 10 metres wide, 5 metres deep, with a flat ceiling less than 2 metres high, created when slabs fell off their bedding plane. The ceiling is covered in art, graceful figures in white ochre, and underneath, layers of much older dark red.
When we discover a site like this, with paintings on the walls, on the ceilings, and with a very beautiful archaeological floor, it's the presence of a lot of charcoal, of bone residues, of wood, of artifacts. It's useful for us to study the chronology of the human occupation on this site. And then we try to make a comparison between the superimposition of the different levels of paintings, and we make also the assumption that it could be direct relationships between the dates of the occupation and the date of the rock art.
Jean-Michel Genest. The Geniornis excavation is just one piece in the giant jigsaw that is Arnhem Land rock art. It's just one step in a long-term project commissioned by the Jawan. Dating rock art is the key to unlocking its meaning. Earlier chronologies, like those of George Chalupka, were based on the layering, or the motifs. This project is about empirically dating the rock art with hard evidence.
Most of the art styles that you get in Jawan country simply don't fit in to the existing chronologies and the existing organisation of art for Arnhem Land. And what we're trying to do, and this is going to take many years, is to identify specifically within Jawan countries a whole range of rock art styles, order them chronologically, in other words, this one came first, this one came second, etc. And it could be that many different styles occurred at the same time. And once these are identified, is to try and get some information about the age of each one of these phases by using as many different techniques as we can. One technique being to excavate underneath the rock art sites, either to get evidence of, for example, bits of the rock that have fallen down with pigment still attached to them, where the painting has broken off, or to get bits of ochre that were used to create the paintings. And in a way, it's much akin to indigenous ways of reading and looking and understanding the landscape, where it's not just an outsider that walks into a place and asks questions of that place, but the place itself makes demands on us.
And that Gabalman, there's a 2 million, and they look after the cave. And now they will look after you.
A big bird in Arnhem Land, and that report by Dennis Buckley with a team of French and Australian archaeologists on the Arnhem Land Plateau, 300K east of Darwin in the Northern Territory, learning plenty from paintings of Geniornis. Next week on The Science Show, I get my own personal atom, a New Zealand atom, in fact, one to be used in quantum computing. And we go to Singapore. The Science Show is produced by David Fisher and Charlie McCune. I'm Robin Williams.